Let's drink it. Yeah, ditto on our three. This was Pope, a seasoned paramilitary with what used to be the Central Intelligence Agency's Special Activities Division. That was in what used to be the United States. African-American, soft-spoken, keen on knives, he was also rumored to have killed more people than smallpox back in America's counter-terror wars. That was before virtually everyone was dead already. And now the dead were surrounding them. Again. On the other hand, they were always surrounded, even at the best of times, holed up as they were in Fortress Britain. But right now, the four of them, Handin's detached half of Alpha Team, and for all he knew, a significant fraction of the Tier 1 special operators still left alive anywhere in the world, simply needed to hold this one building entrance. The large plain lettering on the front of the warehouse-like structure read, Merc KGAA. The top of the letter M had fallen off, and the final A was cracked and barely legible. Handin wondered how in just 2 years everything could go so quickly and completely to shit. His team was raiding the research labs of what used to be Germany's largest pharmaceutical company, from back when there were things like companies, and Germany. This also meant they were way too deep into fallen Europe for anybody's safety or comfort, so deep that one screw-up could mean disaster for the whole team. But there was nothing for it. It was, if anything, an understatement to say that any hope of survival humanity still had hinged on operations like this one, even if the remaining population would never know about it. Most of the time, it was best that way. Handin blinked, but maintained target lock as he heard Pope switch smoothly to the command net. Hotel X, this is Alpha 2 requesting ETA on extraction. We're pretty much ready to hit the road here. Speaking of understatement, the first thing about Tier 1 operators is that they are not prone to panic, even when panic was fully justified, especially then. Unconsciously, Handin cocked his head into his earpiece, willing the channel to perk up. But it stayed silent as the grave. Maybe they were in a radio skip zone, in addition to being neck deep in zombie soup. A dead zone. 15 seconds passed, several lifetimes in a combat situation. All around the team, the mist shifted with movement. And with that, and no other preamble, the lead creature, the one with only half a head, was upon him. Handin placed the red target reticule of his EOTech holographic sight on the zombie's chin point. Directly behind that would be the brainstem. He applied a quarter pound of pressure to the trigger, then hesitated. The creature, almost instantly driven to frenzy by the scent of living flesh, wheezed out a guttural roar, accelerated to its top speed of about 7 miles per hour, and lunged forwards. Handin let his rifle, a heavily customized HK416, one of the last in the universe and thus nearly priceless, swing down on its single-point tactical sling, and switched in a blur to his secondary weapon. In this new, fallen, deeply strange world that was no longer his .45 auto-loading handgun, it was a wakizashi, a samurai short sword, worn in side-draw configuration above his duty belt in the small of his back. In the same motion as the draw, he whirled the razor-sharp blade around in a tight arc. The curved blade was designed precisely for drawing and striking at once, and separated what was left of the creature's head from what was left of its body. The fragile, torn abomination lost its animation and fell forward at Handin's assault boots, its knees cracking as the weak bones splintered with the impact of the hard pavement. The body fell sideways, hitting the pavement with a rich, wet sound. Decapitation wouldn't actually kill the head. Only destruction of the brainstem could do that. But it would stop it getting to him. It would be a few weeks or so before the head dried up, and whatever constituted the zombie inside it finally died. Until then, it would lie in the same spot, gnashing its jaw at the open air. And then, he heard it. Just a split second before it came thrumming into view, the indistinct electric whir of suppressed rotor blades cutting through the muffling mists. It was the unit's stealth Blackhawk, inbound on short final. You didn't hear these things until they were practically on top of you, and especially in poor